Welcome to Soul-Led Living. I'm your host, Nikki Novo. I created this podcast so that you can hear, trust, and follow your intuition. Every week, I drop two episodes packed with intuitive messages that your divine team is dying for you to hear. So get your heart ready to receive exactly whatever it is that you are meant to receive. Let's do this. Welcome back, friends, to another episode of Soul-Led Living. Today, we're going to talk about breaking free from the matrix. I actually wanted to call this breaking free from the hamster wheel, but when I asked my team, they were like, no, matrix is the word that's being used, and that just shows you how old I am, you know? Because I was really picturing some of us living a little bit of a cookie-cutter life, living a life that accidentally is a life that is really being driven by our programming and like what we're taught to think or learn or be or act. And I feel like some of you are, well, everybody who listens to this is obviously wanting to live a more soul-led life, come from my heart, create my life, and not just accidentally living a life that people told me to live. So I know that that is your desire for you. But this episode came because it seems like accidentally, like we are living a bit of what society is telling us to live by accident, certain categories of life. So I wanted to have this conversation to just sit and see like where that might still be held up, like where we are still not free, where we are not really making our conscious choices. Some of us might feel very stuck in the matrix or hamster wheel, and some of us might be like, no, I'm doing a pretty good job, but there it could be better. And to me, this is just a conversation that's maybe on the other side of the coin about creating my life, right? Like all these things I can do to create my life. And this is more like, hey, you think you're creating your life, but look, there's like still these few things that are blocking us from like truly creating our true life. So that's the episode. I hope it breaks you free of the mold that you may accidentally find yourself in, or maybe the mold that you totally know you're in. And I'm excited that this came through because this is really about setting you free for what you're really here for, who you're truly meant to be, and what you are truly meant to create. So let's get into our five messages. Message number one, what you are busy with is a trap. I was like seeing calendars. I was seeing everybody's calendars and I could see this busyness. And that's going to be different for everybody. For some of us, it might be like, oh, I'm busy driving around. I am busy doing this task. I see myself like canceling plans because I got to do this thing. And, or even like the way that I'm helping this client or the way that I'm helping my kids, like this must be done this way. There's a busyness that is really trapping you into being here. Like this is the thing that 10 years from now, you're going to be like, my God, I spent so many hours like stuck on that thing that kept me from what I really wanted to do. So there's a need to look at your busyness. It's not about like just not being involved in this busyness, but it does look like there's a way to streamline it. There's a way to automate it. There's a way to hand it off. There's a way to take your focus off of it. Like it almost looks like, you know, obviously like where our focus goes is like what we end up creating. So, you know, you're probably like really good at this thing too. For example, like maybe you're busy momming, you know, and you're really good at it, but it's like, there's just too much focus there. And also it could be like, wow, I'm, you know, midway through with my kids. My kids are already teenagers and I'm still giving it the same focus that I gave when like they were very, very little. And it's time to like at least split that focus a little bit and move into like what I really want to create. So there's something about, there's like a lot of momentum behind this thing that you're busy. Some of it I can see, like I see some of it in family. I see some of it in like an inefficiency in your job, an inefficiency even in your business, like you're kind of, again, comfort zone type stuff that we've been seeing, but you really believe that the busyness is important. So that's the thing, like we're like, that's the matrix. The matrix is like all about forgetting that we're in this video game, forgetting that, you know, that we have creation power, forgetting, like just it's the process of forgetting. Like every time the work that I do, and especially like in soul reading method, I always remind people, I'm like, this is just about remembering, like remembering that I'm a soul, remembering who I really am, like remembering that I signed up for this life, remembering that like I'm playing this game by being married to this person and having these kids. Like this is all like a game that my soul is playing. The matrix is when you forget that, right? So It's all that stuff that's like on automatic, on like autopilot. So the busyness like is really the thing that keeps you on autopilot. So we really have to like look at the busyness for a second and obviously be efficient with it, but also like see what it's actually covering you up from. So the solution here, what I saw was that in order to break free, you do need space to see that you want more. And the only reason like you're not letting yourself have space is because like you don't believe in yourself when it comes to what you want. So like you need the belief in yourself and the, you know, you need to be able to invest in yourself and like roll the dice on yourself to grow into like what you really want. But there's a part of you that doesn't really like believe it's possible. So that's why you don't really want the space. So it's like a little bit of a self-sabotaging situation. So just seek space, like look at your calendar and seek space and then let yourself get honest about what you really want. You're going to notice you don't really have the self-esteem for it, which is totally normal, or the confidence, and then really hyping yourself up that like, yes, you can do that thing that you want. And when you start to believe in yourself more, you'll see that that busyness magically goes away because you decide to put your focus on the things that you want because now you believe that you can have that thing. So that's why busyness is like such a good thing to look at because it gives us so many clues to this stuckness that we're experiencing. Message number two, this one kind of scared me a little bit, but I got, be weary of your traditional friendship structures. So this felt like be weary of like very old friendships that I've had and like maybe what is expected. Maybe these like relationships or friendships that I have not renegotiated now that I am more of myself, or you know, I'm an adult or I'm a true person now. And you know, maybe these friendships came when I was younger and I wasn't aware of myself as much, or I didn't know who I was, but I'm still going by the same rule. There's something about these like familiar structures is what it looks like when it comes to relationships, specifically friendships. And you know what's interesting? It's not just like old friends. It makes me feel like it is also new friends, but I'm making them the same way I made old friends. I have a group of friends here that remind me a lot of my friends from Miami. Like these, I just kind of recreated what I had in Miami. And I'm really like wondering, yeah, like, I don't know. When I got this message, I don't have the answers yet, but I'm like, okay, like what should I be looking for instead? Or how can I approach the friendships different? Because it's not about like throwing the friendships away, but making sure that you don't accidentally fall into certain agreements or expectations that just kind of keep you a bit trapped and like slowing down what you actually want from your life. So I was getting that your friends should be creators. Like you need to ask yourself, are my friends creating their lives? And if they're not, it doesn't mean like we're like peace out, but maybe it's like, how can I encourage them to create their lives? Or when we're together, how can I make it about creating our lives and not just chilling and I don't know, gossiping or whatever it may be, but it's about having people around you that are also creating their lives. Because the difference between being in the matrix and being asleep and actually being out of it is the creator versus the survivor. So do any of your kids play Minecraft? Yeah, Minecraft. You know how there's, I'm a little sick. Have you noticed in Minecraft how they have like survival mode and then they have creator mode? I'm like, this is exactly the situation. So creator mode is the person that knows they're living in like a, you know, like a little game, but they're aware that they can create. And then survival mode is like when you actually like forget and you're asleep and you're just like living off your programming. I mean, it's very like animalistic, right? Like it's like, I'm just an animal. So some of us are in friendships with like other animals and some of us are in friendships with creators. So we want to ask ourselves, like, are our friends creators, people around us, are they creators? And if they're not, can I turn the relationship around to make sure we are creating together? And if like they can't get there, then, you know, well, plan B, guys. Hey, friends, if you haven't already heard, I am hosting 2 live events in Miami in March, and I would love for you to be there. The first event is Soul-Led Living Live, where you will enjoy a ton of fun activations, an energy shifting workshop with me, and a live group reading with me. There will be a ton of freebies, mini soul readings, and just an overall good time. Our second event is a business immersive that is designed to help you map out your next steps in business. I'm going to guide you to discover the most amazing business strategy, which actually lives within you. I'm seeing so many of you guys sign up, and I'm really excited about the group that we are, you know, coming together, and I can't wait for all of you guys to meet. So that's going to be fun. I think at the time that this ad is going to go out, we'll almost be at capacity for both events. So if you want to attend, please do not hesitate. I cannot open more tickets because the space only allows a certain amount of people. So I don't want you to miss out. Details are below, links are below, and I cannot wait to see you in sunny Miami. Message number three, something that really keeps us stuck in the matrix, in the hamster wheel, is this worship of stability. And like, I was getting that, like, stability is your God. And I think, in other words, it's like survival is your God. And there is all this worship and this prayer to the survival aspects of life. Survival aspects of life, what are those? Those are money, obviously. Staying within my clang. So like going by the rules of the tribe, like not leaving the tribe, being afraid of like losing my friends or my family or whatever it may be, because like I must go by these rules. Worship to survival is also like, even I saw like home or like where you live or your like society, like where you're from, your culture, your community. And I'm trying to think anything else, but yeah. So it's like kind of like worshiping this survival and being very attached to what it is that I have. Because to break free from the matrix, you need to be adventure oriented. You need to be able to seek adventure. You need to be able to jump into some risk. And honestly, every time I use the word risk here, like it made me feel like it's not truly like what we know as risk. Risk is more, I'm willing to leave my comfort zone and figure it out while I go, right? So this last week, we went skiing in Breckenridge, which was super fun. There were some crazy things that happened, but I'll spare you the details. But I remember like a few weeks before the trip, I was like, oh man, I'm so excited because my family does travel a lot, but we typically travel to the same places. I travel to the same places for work. So there's a lot of familiarity there. We travel to go see family in Florida. We travel to see family in California. So we're moving around a lot, but we go to the same places, right? By accident. And every once in a while, I'll throw in a new place. And I was really excited because I've been to Breckenridge, but they haven't. And I also knew that a lot of things were going to go weird, especially a ski trip. Those are like the weirdest trips, right? It's like you spend all this money to like really work super freaking hard. I'm like carrying like skis and like these heavy boots. And then like, you know, Ethan's too young to like really hold his. So I'm like carrying his too. And I'm like, what in the world? What am I thinking? But somehow it's still fun for us. But anyways, I knew we were going to learn a lot. There was going to be a lot of things that we did not know. And hopefully a ski trip can become like more of a regular trip. But we were adventuring. Like we were going outside of what we typically knew. And it was a risk, right? Like the risk is like, oh, I'm spending all this money. And maybe somebody can get really sick or maybe somebody can break a leg. Like all sorts of things can happen as opposed to like, you know, if I'm going to Florida, my parents, I kind of know how things are going to go. It's not risky. I know what's going to happen for the most part. And sure enough, when we went to Breckenridge, weird things happened. Ethan had to go to the emergency room because he was suffering from really bad altitude sickness. And like it was very cold and we didn't have the right equipment and we had to buy more equipment, right? Like all these things that we were learning. But at the same time, it's like what makes me break free from that hamster wheel of like going to the same places. So like I actually expand my life by doing something new. So that's what this felt like. Like if I'm more attached to being comfortable, which would be like comfortable as I'm traveling, then I don't really get to see these new things. And it requires a risk and it requires like, you know, going outside of the comfort zone, but it's also what allows me to become more of who I really am and create what I'm really trying to create in this life. So we have to be less worshipy to this like comfort and stability and ease in a weird way and be open to every once in a while bringing in some risk and some adventure and almost like, if you are going to worship anything, like maybe, I don't want to say worship because worship's not good for anything, but like, let's say like, let's bring in and look at adventure and see like how good this is and how fun this is and like how great it is to do things that we do not know what the outcomes are and to release a little bit of that attachment to what it is that we already have. I remember when I was starting this business that I have today, you know, I was working for my husband, but I knew I wanted to grow this business and it felt very risky because obviously like my husband's business was stable and I didn't know if this was going to work. I didn't know if I was somebody like worth believing in. And I was really afraid about money. Like I was like, if I take my attention off of Benny's business, our money is going to be affected because I'm going to go into something that like is not really making money. And I did this really funny thing. I was like, I remember sitting there and I was like in meditation and I was like, you know what? What am I afraid of? I'm like, well, I'm afraid of losing this home because I don't have money to pay the mortgage. I'm afraid of not being able to pay for my kids to go to the schools that they're going to. I'm afraid of like not having a car, right? Like all the things that I had to pay for. And I was like, okay, let's say for some odd reason, you lose all of that because of this risk you're trying to, you know, go into. I'm like, what's the worst that can happen? And it's so funny, my mind like went to like worst case scenario, because obviously there would be a lot of steps between like being broke and having nothing and living on the streets. But my mind was like, well, worst case scenario is that like I'm homeless, you know, like that I have put my family in a situation that we are homeless. And my brain went to this, when I was in my 20s, I would volunteer at this this home for unhoused people. And I remember like I would work a lot in this like building, and it was like in Miami, like in downtown, it was an apartment building. And if like you were on the streets, you can like check your family in and have a little apartment. And I remember like being in my 20s and being like, damn, like this ain't so bad. Like, look at me like working so hard to try to pay my apartment. And I'm always freaking out about like not having enough money to pay my rent. And I'm like, you know what? Fine. Like there are good people in the world and like something will happen that we'll find a way to like house ourselves. And that's where my brain went, which obviously that wouldn't be the steps. Maybe I would have to move in with my parents. Like that would maybe be more realistic, but it's kind of like letting myself go to the worst case scenario to see that I'm not afraid of that. So it's really taking off this thing that I worship, stability, this security, and taking it down so that I can take the risk. And obviously, I mean, I've heard of a bunch of people take risks. I've never heard of that actually happening, but I needed to confront that with myself in order to start taking steps forward, because that fear and that commitment to worshiping these survival stability things was really keeping me from taking the risk and creating the life that I really wanted to live rather than just like be on autopilot. So there's something there for us here, guys. And I think it's just like to stop worshiping these stable things, which I know we're taught to, but also to balance it with the belief that adventure can add a lot of value to your life and risk can add a lot of value to your life, and to see that from another lens. Message number four. So one of the components here about living in the matrix has a lot to do with your commitment to who you are in your family. It's this commitment to this role that you play. I really felt the role was more about the family of origin. So I'm thinking like your parents, your siblings, but it could also be the family you're in right now, right? Like I'm a mother married to Benny with three children, and I obviously play a role. I've had this family long enough that like my role is very solidified and I play a certain role. And it looks like those roles have to be looked at, and we really have to ask ourselves like, is this role serving me? Because it feels like some of the busyness is connected to these roles. The role from the family of origin is super sneaky because it really limits what's possible for you. Like, because it's the way you see yourself. Like, it almost looks like the role you play in the family of origin is like what you think is possible for you and what you think is available to you. To give you an example, I have two brothers. I'm in the middle. My two brothers, they were just really good at school, very intelligent people, went to a better college than I did. And I was just like not the school girl, which is funny because I obviously saw myself a certain way growing up, because I went to a state school with a scholarship. So obviously I was pretty decent, but I guess I didn't get to go to like the nice schools that they went to because they were just like better students than me. So I have worked through that since then, and I see myself like as equals of them. But I think there's always a place to like kind of revisit that. Like who do I usually have to play? For a long time, I was like, you know, taking care of all the boys because I have two brothers and I have two guy cousins, and I was always the only girl, and I had to play like this role and play this role with my parents. And it really tells us how we see ourselves. So then if I think my older brother, for example, is like the golden child, I can never surpass his success. Which, what if I'm destined to pass his success? But if I'm like, well, this is who I am, I'm the middle child, you know, I'm the girl, I'm the one that went to this school, I'm the one that did this, then I accidentally, like, don't ever let myself pass my brother. You get what I mean? So it's like being able to look at what commitment you might have accidentally made in your family of origin and also the family that you may be in right now. Like, maybe it's like, well, I'm a mom and this is like what a mom should do. And maybe those roles of being that kind of mom was great for where you were when the kids were little or where you started, but maybe there's opportunity to renegotiate that role. So I'm not saying that like the role you were in was bad, but it does make me feel that that role was a little bit made from like unconscious programming and things that you like accidentally committed to. And sometimes we're afraid of renegotiating because we think we're going to lose everything. But like in the work that I've done for so many years, I've seen that people just transform their lives, you know? So like you're not, I just don't really feel that that's the path that you're going to lose like the people you love or the family that you love. My sense is like, no, you're just going to rearrange things so that people meet you like, you know, they just meet you where you are basically. So to really look at that, I was getting definitely like your role as a sibling, your role as a child, and maybe your role as a parent as well. Like these roles just need to be looked at because they feel very autopilot to me. And believe it or not, that's what makes the matrix. Like that's what makes a life that is actually projected from our programming rather than like what we truly want to create. So we have to change those labels or that identity so that you can believe that you can have more. And lastly, number five, in order to break free from this matrix, we have to be aware that we are playing a game. And this is so funny. So many of us like knew we were getting into a game and then we got lost in the game. So it makes me feel like, you know what? I want to play this game of being an entrepreneur. And then all of a sudden we get lost and we believe everything that we're seeing rather than like, remember when it was nothing and I was just creating it. So it feels like all of us are playing a game, different games. Maybe it's like I'm playing the game of like finding love, or maybe I'm playing the game of growing a business or, you know, running a family. But the awareness that you chose that setup and then that game tends to have certain rules because of the like societal norms, basically. And knowing that you actually get to change the rules of the game, that there are no real rules, that you get to do what you want with it, but an awareness that you are aware that you're jumping in to playing something that already has structures and certain rules. And if you forget that you're playing it, you're accidentally going to get caught up in the rules that were created before you, but there really are no rules, right? So to break free is to know that you still get to be in this world, right? Because I think sometimes when I hear like break free from the matrix, it's like really disconnecting from societal structures and norms. And like none of us really want that, right? Like we still wanna we wanna be creators within this world that we're in. But the only problem is when we're not aware that we chose the game. So think about the games that you are currently playing. For me, I was like, oh, I'm totally playing like this game of business, of entrepreneur. Like that is a game. You can win at it, you know, like you're always competing and like there is all these, that game. And then maybe there's like the game of being a wife. Like maybe that's a game that I signed up for too. And what I want to do is really remember that I chose these things and that I get to make the rules of this thing as well. And that I get to remember that I'm playing the game. So even when I play the game and go by the rules, it's remembering that I am a player and that I'm not just stuck in somebody else's reality. Does that make sense? So really seeing, I think another way to say that is like main character energy, right? Like that you are aware that, I don't know, that you're like the center of this game that you're playing. And it's okay to see that way and to be that way, because like that's where the creation power really comes from. But when you forget you are, and you're just kind of like a random player there, or you're in somebody else's show, that's when you get really lost in this movie that you actually created, that you actually stepped into, that you agreed to. So just taking a step back, especially if there is a certain game you really want to win at and being like, okay, cool, I'm playing this game. And yeah, these are kind of the rules. It's always nice to know the rules of these games that are pretty typical so that you can then bend them and break them, right? So I remember when I was jumping into podcasting again, and there's certain rules in like the podcasting space, and a lot of it was interview people. And I just remember being like, okay, cool, I know those rules, but now here's how I'm going to bend them. Like, I'm still going to do a podcast. I'm still going to be a player within the game, but I'm going to do it this way because like this is what works for me. And in a weird way, I kind of reinvented the rules that I knew that had to do with podcasting. Does that make sense? So be aware of the game that you are playing. And if you haven't jumped into a game that you do want to play, just know that you're going to jump into a game, right? Like maybe you're thinking about starting a business. Cool. That is a game you're going to play. Just don't forget that you're like choosing to jump into that game, and then notice all the rules that are there, but also know that all those rules can be broken and bent, and that the whole point is to have fun with the game and to not get lost, like to not let the game swallow you, but to you to be like, oh, cool, like I'm going to ride this wave. So I just feel like we're meant to, I think that's what people say when they say take a step back, right? Like just zoom out for a second and see this game that you're actually playing. And it's actually going to help you remember that you like the game and that you might not like the game right now because of the rules you're accidentally adhering to. And when you realize like, I don't have to adhere to those rules, then poof, you're out of survival mode and you're in creative mode and you're out of the matrix. You're off the hamster wheel. So that's what the hamster wheel is about. It's about following rules that you didn't create. So this episode is about realizing that, sure, there's rules, but you get to make your own. All right, guys, that was our episode for today. A little trippy, a little weird, but definitely let me know what stood out to you. I love seeing your comments, but you know, you can DM me on Instagram. You can leave me a comment on Instagram, or those of you who are in Clarity app, it's always nice to hear from you. So thank you so much. I'm sending you much love, and I'll see you in the next episode. That's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. I love you guys so much. If you're called to it, please leave me a review, subscribe, and share it with a friend. That is the best way to show your gratitude for this show. And if you want to go deeper with me, check out my app, Clarity. Until next time, much love always.